The message of God is found in God's Word. It gives us hope. It gives us strength because we see how God has moved and acted in ages past, and we know that if He's done it in the past, He can do it now, and He'll do it into the future as well. So again, that message is important. You know that words are important, don't you? You remember that limerick we learned as children? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We understood that, we caught it, we quoted it, but we soon realized those words weren't true. Because names can hurt us, and they linger with us sometimes, because words impact us. Although the Bible has said, it said that the Bible, with its vast great message to us, has a very simplistic vocabulary. Out of the 6,000 words, there's actually only 6,000 different words it said that it's contained in your Bible. That's kind of remarkable to think about. Particularly, the article I was reading, it said that Shakespeare used over 20,000 different words in his writings. In the Bible, God, he only used 6,000. And it also said that the average word in the Bible is only 5 letters long. That's pretty remarkable, too. But in those 5 letters, words, we find some great words that we hang on to for life, like faith. And grace, and peace, and hope, and Jesus. I mean, if you think about it, it's interesting to note that as you read through the Scriptures, as you read through the Scriptures and you apply them to your life, you're actually finding life itself. And you're living out the words that Paul shared to his young protege Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 15, or verse 16, he gives them these words. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable, now get this, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That's some pretty powerful words. Education we need, it's here in the Bible, to live life. Reproof, that's a kind of a change that needs to come, the hard word you might say that needs to become to that we need to hear about our own lives. Correction, that's a discipline. A training is a discipline as well that helps us to move in righteousness. Again, those are some pretty powerful words if we will listen to them and apply them to our lives. So let me ask you something. How well do you know God's Word? How well? How well do you know God's Word? How well are you applying God's Word to your life? I don't know if you're like me, I'm still learning. Unfortunately, if I'm completely honest and blunt about it, that there's sometimes it's my want to is not quite there. You know, there's some things God says you need to be doing and I don't want to. There's some things I shouldn't do that I want to do. So my want to is not always there. There are some things, though, that I read through the Scripture I need somebody to help me with. I need to dig a little deeper to see what God is really saying to me about those things. And both of those things are part of the discipleshiping process that God says that we need to go through as believers so that we can live out. So how well are you knowing? How well are you applying God's Word to your life? It's vital. It's important. Find your Bibles this morning, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll pick up in verse 14. I know we've been here for a while. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. If you're using the Bible in the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 153 in the second part of the book. It begins to renumber in the New Testament. So page 153, Ephesians chapter 6, and you can find verse 14. Now again, we've been here for a while. We've been in Ephesians. We've actually been in this last section of Ephesians, this last chapter, for several weeks now as we've been learning about our defense. Forming a formidable defense against the arch enemy of God, which is, as believers, as Christians, our arch enemy as well, Satan the devil. I think we can understand then, if we're going to have a great defense against Satan, that God's Word is going to be of vital importance to us. That means that we not only need to know it, but we also need how to apply it correctly in our lives and even helping others out. So let's read through His Word here and see what we can find. All right, verse 14, Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which that you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now the sword, which we're told here about, is what? The Word of God. So how he identifies it here. Don't you find it unique or maybe a little odd that pretty much every item of weaponry that we've been given is a defensive weapon? We're not given a weapon for offensive, you know, going on the attack or anything of that nature. If you read through all those are for a defensive mechanism for us. Now, this word that Paul chooses, or the Spirit of God gives Paul to use for a sword, is not a long broadsword. It's more of a shorter version of the sword. It's more for up close and personal, you might say, attack or defense. This thing could be anywhere from 6 inches long, like a dagger, up to 18 inches, maybe 24 inches, 2 feet in length. So again, we're not talking about a really large sword here. This is something that's going to be up close and personal. If you get to think about it, every one of the weapons that we are given for defense, all the pieces of the armor are for defense, not to go on the offensive. And even it being small, it would fit neatly into the belt. Hold in place, the belt of truth. It's kind of unique that truth and God's word would go kind of hand in hand, don't you think? That's how he designed this. And we have to have truth and word to fit together. Did anybody do Bible drill growing up as a kid? Remember doing those? Remember you put your Bible down to the side and they say draw swords and you pull that thing up and hold it out, and then they give this passage and you frantically would look for your Bible. Take that step forward. When I was a teenager, I worked in children's church a lot. And so we did Bible drill with those kids quite a bit. And we had this young little girl. She was fantastic. I mean, she was really good at Bible drill. She could whip all of us, hands down. And so we had to do all kinds of strange things to this girl to try to slow her down, to give everybody else a chance. We would give her somebody else's Bible. You know, it's like trying to find Genesis in a new Bible or somebody else's Bible. You can't even do that. So we'd find that. We'd tell her, turn it upside down, turn it backwards. She'd make her do all kinds of strange things. Put it in a chair. She'd have to go get it and pick it up and then start finding things. And she could beat anybody. Well, after a while, our guy that was kind of leading the children's church thing, he said he came up with this bright idea that we were going to have our children challenge the deacons to a Bible drill. And, of course, we had this little girl here. She was our ringer. And matter of fact, man, she did. She whipped them all. There was, I think, only one time in one verse that we gave that one of the deacons beat her out on it. Now, as fun as that game is, and much as that teaches us how to find things in the Bible, that's only part of what needs to happen with God's Word. We have to be able to read it, comprehend it, and apply it. We have to study it to be able to put it in our life. So how does this weapon, or what does this weapon of the Word of God, this sword, help us to do? Well, here's kind of our big thought for the day, all right? The sword is our defensive weapon to counter the attack or counter the deceptive lies of the enemy. Remember, we got truth and then we got God's word. The sword is our defensive weapon to counter the attack of the defensive lies or deceptive lies of the enemy. Now remember, Satan, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's very good at this. So truth and the word or the words of God are going to be of vital importance. The battle we fight is not against humanness. It's against powers and principalities. It's of darkness. This battle is up close and personal again. So oftentimes that battle starts in the mind. So here, know something else here. It's the sword is of what? It's the sword of the Spirit. Now that has more to do with its nature, more so than its source. However, the source is important too. It has to do with the nature that, again, that our battle is a spiritual battle, and that's how we're going to use this in our own lives, is to help us defend against the spiritual attacks of Satan. And the Spirit of God is here, because it's the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, he's there to help us use God's Word when we need to and in an appropriate manner. Now, this sword itself is the Word of God. Now, the word for word here, say that 10 times fast, the word for word, the word that is used here for word has to do more with statements or specific statements that God, about God, or that God gives to us. Case in point, Matthew chapter 4. It's It's one of the keen insight here to one of the times when Satan and Jesus are face to face, you could say. Jesus has been on the mountain, is after his baptism. He goes there to pray, and he's fasting for 40 days, and Satan comes and tempts him while they're on the mountain. In each of those temptations, Jesus gives three words that are very important. Sometimes when we read that story, we pass over these words pretty quickly, but they are very important to us. Those three words, it is written. Jesus is calling, and as his defense, the word, the words, the statements of God that he'd been given through the ages. Now, can we take this and drive it home a little better or maybe a little deeper into things? If God's Son Jesus, the one who is all-powerful, who can do anything, who knows everything, uses the statements and the lessons and the words of his Father to fight off the enemy, does that give you a clue of what we need to do and how important God's Word is to us so that we can stand and be able to stand against the enemy? And again, the Spirit of God coming and helping us use that Word. Jesus taught this. So God taught this lesson through his Son Jesus in Matthew 10. It says, when persecution comes and people are dragging you into court, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say. He says, the Spirit of God, the Word of God will be there. The Spirit of God will help you answer the questions. He'll give you the defense. You see, the Bible, God's Word, the messages about God, the messages about God's Word is a major source for our defense to stand strong when the enemy attacks us. I like the word of Pastor John MacArthur. He makes this observation. It says, the emphasis of the present passage is on how believers are to use the sword of the Spirit. It's not a physical weapon designed by human minds or forged by human hands, but the perfect spiritual weapon of divine origin and power. Like the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, it is always to be at hand, ready to be taken up and used when a battle begins. We have to know it. We have to be able to apply it. And the Spirit of God has been given to us to help us when those battles come to us. Another pastor put it this way. The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible and our sky has lost its sun. Wow. God's Word, the messages of God, are of vital importance to us to help us when we go through crisis, when we go through battles, when we live life day to day. The Bible, God's Word, the message and the lessons about the Bible is a source, a major source of our protection for life. The idea here is that we must know it and then also how to apply it correctly or how to use it correctly. If you were in a sword fight with somebody and they happen to be a master swordsman, you know, if you're like me, I'd be in trouble. I just might as well lay it down and give up, surrender, because I'm done. See, Satan, he knows. He knows God's Word. He's going to twist it and turn it. Remember Jesus' temptations? Satan would quote portions of Scriptures to say to Jesus, and Jesus says, no, it is written this way. This is what it said. So, again, we have to know it, and we have to be able to apply it. Let me share this with you. Psalms 119, verse 7. One of these verses in here is a great Bible school verse. I bet you learned it growing up. In Psalms 119, verse 7, notice what we learn here. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. Knowing God's Word helps us to worship Him better. Verse 8 says, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Knowing God's Word gives us confidence to live. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. You want to live in purity? You want to live in righteousness? Guard your life with the word of God. Verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It keeps us safe. It keeps us sure. It helps us. It's a protection. It helps us to fight off those lies that Satan wants to tell us or wants us to believe. Now remember, this sword is not this long, imposing sword. It's a smaller one. It's for more precise, fighting off. It's for up close and personal. This word is about those specific statements that God gives to us, like guarding your life by learning God's word. Those are specific. Those are apparent to us. Paul again, 2 Timothy, this time chapter 2, verse 15, tells this young man this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Now, how's he going to do this? Rightly handling the word of truth. We approve, we live worthily, we live rightly because we know God's word. God has given us his word to use it to the specific attacks of Satan. It's there. Now, those of us who promote and prompt Bible study, I guess you could say we're the public relations for Bible study, or studying the Bible. Sometimes we may come off that Bible study is easy. Oftentimes it's not. Because sometimes we have to dig a little bit. Understanding the truth. Again, that's where the Spirit of God comes upon us to help us to understand. And we have to meditate maybe a little longer on words and thoughts to really gain what's happening. We need to sit in a Bible study to help us understand what's going on around it, and again, how to work it into our lives. Sometimes I think we're guilty of thinking that studying the Bible is like gaining a shot of adrenaline. It hits us, we have this surge of energy, this surge of power, and it's going to get us through. Well, it may do that from time to time, but studying the Bible is more like taking vitamins. You take them, and they work over a period of time. Building the immune system, building the muscles, building the strength to help you. It happens over the long haul because we're preparing ourselves for what's coming in life. It helps us to be strong. God's word is a major way in which we're going to be able to stand off the attacks of Satan. Now, kind of a second thought here. The sword can also be a weapon to go on the offense, to be on offense with this. God's word can help us. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but when you pick up the Bible and begin to read it, you enter into the spiritual warfare. Because Satan doesn't want you reading God's word. That might be why sometimes our Bibles get a little dusty at times. It's because we've set them aside, because we're tired of fighting for a while. I was preaching on this one time in a church. And I wasn't the pastor there. I was the youth minister, the associate pastor, and I was preaching on studying the Bible and how important God's word is to us. And I said, I know some of you aren't reading your Bible. And I got kind of a lot of stared looks. How in the world does he know if I'm reading my Bible or not? And I said, because in this church in the 40s, there was these coat racks in the back and had shelves on the top. And I said, it's because a lot of your Bibles are sitting in that coat rack back there. By next Sunday, there wasn't a Bible back there. I did confess this. I haven't read through any of them to see whose is who. But anyway, so I know you're not reading your Bible. God's word is important because we will go into the spiritual battle when we get into God's word because Satan will try to keep us from reading it because he knows what it will do to us and for us. Now, let me make a word of caution here about going on the offensive with God's word. It's offensive, not offensive. You catch it? There's a slight difference. Offensive means we go into the enemy territory to conquer. And we'll get into that here in just a second. But we're not to be offensive with God's word. We're not to use God's word to prove my point. We're not to use God's word to champion my opinion or champion my cause. We're not to use God's word to manipulate. We're not to use God's word to browbeat. We're to use God's word to help others as well as ourselves by getting closer to God. Now, I know sometimes us preachers get a bum rap here because sometimes we have to bring a harsh word from God. And we're told sometimes, well, you're browbeating us, or you're preaching at us. Well, I'll admit, sometimes you have to preach at us, you know. Go read through the prophets. Man, they had some pretty harsh things to say to God's people, but they had God's message to the people. Jesus had some harsh words to say to the religious elite of his day. And here's the thing. If we have a message from God and it is kind of a harsh or a blunt word, we have to be doubly sure that it's God's word, that it's God's message, and it's been given in God's time. I think this is why we find in James that the Holy Spirit teaches us that not everyone's supposed to be a teacher. Not everyone's supposed to be a preacher, because those who teach and preach, there is a greater judgment upon you because you're teaching and preaching God's word, because you have to make sure you're delivering God's message and delivering it the way in which God says to deliver it. One time, I delivered a message. Notice I said one time. I delivered a message God did not want me to deliver, and in a manner he did not want me to deliver it in. And I vowed that day I would never do that again because of what it did to me, what it did to my relationship with God, and what it did to the church as well. That was then. It's a serious thing to handle God's word. And therefore we have to do it appropriately. Moses did this. Remember? Moses had a message. Well, actually, he didn't have a message. He had a message. He was supposed to speak to a rock and get water from it. And what did he do? He spoke a hard message, a hard word to the people, and struck the rock with his staff and didn't get to go into the promised land. I've often said if Moses would have struck the people with the staff and spoke to the rock like he was supposed to, he might not have gotten to go into the promised land. We don't know. God's word is that important to us. Now, let me share with you two ways, fairly quickly here, how we can be on the offensive, going into enemy territory with God's word appropriately. When we share the message of Jesus, the message of salvation with another, we're using God's word appropriately. We're going on the offensive because we're entering into enemy territory, because we're going after people who need to hear the good news message of Jesus. And when we share that good news message of Jesus, that's life-changing, that's life-altering, not just here and in the earth, but for all eternity, we're entering into enemy territory. And we have a great message to share. Sometimes I think that's why we don't share it as often, is because we realize we're going into enemy territory. And we don't want to go into enemy territory. But that's where God sent us. And that's where Satan's attack is going to come at us. Second thing that we use, or the second way in which we use God's word in going on the offense, is when we share the message of God's word to make disciples. When we're helping each other grow up in Christ, when we're helping others become stronger in the faith. What's the Great Commission? What's it say? As you go, make what? Disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's the conversion. That's, so you've taken the good news of Jesus, you've shared it with someone, they have believed it, they've been converted, they're baptized, they're identifying themselves with Christ. So you're going to baptize them. Then notice what it says. It says, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe everything. That's discipling. When you're helping someone grow up in the faith, when you're helping someone's their life come alive into the Scriptures, or the Scriptures coming alive in their life, they can see this. It's happening. It's vital to us as believers. The message is so important. The message is of great importance. There's a lady traveling one day. She was traveling abroad, and she was over in another country, and she ran across this bracelet that she just really loved. And so she sent her husband a message. Beautiful bracelet. Only $75,000. Can I have it? And I'll let you all recover from that $75,000 remark, all right? He made a mistake, though, in his reply. He let his assistant reply. He says, no, price too high. Well, when the wife got the message, she said, no, price too high. Great, I can have it. And so when she got home and showed it off, he was beside himself. See, the message is important, even down to even sometimes the punctuation. Jesus taught that not one I would be left undotted, not one T would be left uncrossed, that God's word would be fulfilled and be done in our lives. God's word is correct. It's the truth. And it needs to be shared and lived out in faith. Now, how are we going to do this? Let me give you four things real quick. We'll wind this thing down, all right? Four things to do, what we can use God's word to help us in life, all right? First off, use God's word to expose the sin of our lives, or expose our sinfulness. And I know we don't like to do that, because that means I'm doing something wrong. And sometimes admitting that we're wrong is bad. But see, when Satan raises his head, when he raises his ways, if we've been into God's word, we're going to know what's right and wrong. Because God's word is going to tell us. It's going to lead us to righteousness. So we're going to use God's word, and notice it says our, mine. I'm not going to point out necessarily somebody else's sin to them. That rarely ever works. Again, offensive versus offensive. So we're going to use God's word to expose our own sinfulness so that we can know what's right and wrong in life. So we can know that we are following God. Right? Second one. Use God's word to expose God's perspective. And see if this doesn't bear out. When temptation comes your way, oftentimes there's a feeling or an emotion that is attached to that temptation. It's going to feel good. It's going to help you. There's going to be some pleasure to it. See, what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing may not be what is correct. That right and wrong thing. So if I'm using God's word and I know God's word, then I'm going to be a little more objective about what I'm sensing in life. And you've heard me say this. We've heard this through this study a couple of times. Perspective is not reality until you hear from God. So what I'm experiencing and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking I'm feeling and what I'm thinking I'm wanting may not be the right thing until I take it through God's word. See, I know what's right and wrong. Then I gain God's perspective. And thirdly, we use God's word to expose truth. Do you know you cannot arbitrarily decide you're not going to think about anything? I remember this episode from Gomer Pyle. Sergeant Carter had gotten upset with him, and he told him he put a bucket on his head because he just wasn't thinking right. And Andy comes by and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm thinking about thinking under this bucket because I'm supposed to think right." But you can't control what you think about. You can't control those things that just pop in your head. But you can control the focus of what you do think about. That's why it's important to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to His Word. Because what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, what I'm hearing, may actually be detrimental to my life. Remember Adam and Eve and the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat of, the knowledge of good and evil? That fruit looked good. It felt good. It smelled good. And it sure did taste good. But it separated them from God. The effects were harmful. Everything around them, everything was telling them, this is good. But it brought great harm to their life and to humanity that we're dealing with even today. So we use God's word to expose our sinfulness. We use God's word to gain His perspective. We use God's word to expose truth. Then we use God's word, fourthly, to expose our faith. If we know God's word and we're putting it into practice, we're living in faith. Isn't that kind of neat how that works? If I know God's word and I put it in practice, I'm living in faith. I'm practicing. I'm doing. Remember James, his words? Faith without works is dead. So if I'm living out God's word, I'm living in faith. And this is how we can see this. Because I'm saying to God, "God, I believe you. I believe your word is true. I'm trusting you with the things of my life." So I'm living it out in faith. I'm living God's word. See, unfortunately for some of us as believers, we go from one Bible study to the next, from one sermon to the next. And we just soak up all this stuff and then do anything in it. We're like a sponge. What happens when a sponge has got too much water in it? It doesn't do anything, does it? So what do you have to do to it for it to become useful again? You got to wring it out. And sometimes God has to come in and wring us out so we can take in more and be useful once again. You see, truth is not really learned until it's put into practice. Much information can be gained, but with truth, it's learned and it's applied. Do you have your sword? How well can you use the sword, the Word of God? Do you know God's Word? Can you use it effectively, correctly? Are you avoiding it? You know, sometimes we avoid it because, again, it exposes sin in our life. It gives us God's perspective, and sometimes I don't want God's perspective. Sometimes I like the sin that I'm in because, at least for a while, I'm getting some pleasure from it. Do you need to pick up the sword? Pick up God's Word so you can have a defense against the attacks of the enemy. Let's pray together. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for each piece of the armor. Because each piece is important. Each piece helps us to be able to live victorious. God, in particular, as we've talked today about your word and how important it is, God, maybe we need to renew ourselves today. To doing study once again, daily, one-on-one, with you, our Bible, and your Holy Spirit. God, maybe today we need to renew to Bible study in a small group, whether it's here on church on Wednesday or here at church on Sunday mornings or with a group in my neighborhood. We need to renew to that time so that we can not only learn it, but it can help us and make us strong, but we can also use it to fight off Satan. Use it to help others to know you. And maybe we need to accept your word into our life today that produces life. So God, I pray. I pray over the next few moments while we're singing that your spirit just has such a freedom. Your spirit has such a freedom for minds and hearts to work and to speak, to reassure, to encourage, to challenge, for us to follow. Following commitment. Renewed commitments. So God, draw us to you. Draw us closer to you. Work in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. How God's speaking. How He's drawing you. You come and follow this morning.